Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:30 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is February 23rd. Thought of kick off with natural gas. It's up 17 cents in here today, but more importantly, it's finishing on the upper side of the daily range and its upside follow through on the move that we had yesterday. So we continue to see a bounce from the $2 area, and considering that since natural gas is down from $7 in December to $2 in February, that's an exceptionally quick decline. And now we're starting to see that there are some catalysts moving into play that should support the price. So even on the weekly chart, it's starting to show up now. And then you have the Freeport LNG terminal has just been cleared for additional LNG exports. So that's going to support Henry Hub prices. And then you also have the fact that the price of gas in Europe has now contracted to a point where it's competitive with coal. And coal burning has jumped over the course of the last 6 months because of the fear that Europe would run out of energy this winter. We've had quite a lot of warm weather, and that has contributed to natural gas prices collapsing. And they're now pretty much back to the peak values that they were at prior to the invasion. It's, I think, worth highlighting that Russia was already curtailing shipments to Europe in 2021. So there was certainly some evidence in the natural gas markets, at least, that there was premeditation in terms of what Russia was doing with regard to planning for the war. Well, then it's, I think, also very relevant here that oil prices were steadier today. So up about $1 on Brent crude and continuing to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows that's been in place since December. And I think that the market could reasonably be, we could conclude that it's in relative balance, considering that prices really haven't gone anywhere since December. And I think it's more important to look at the weekly chart and to highlight the fact that prices are encountering resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average and support in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And these periods of quiet trading in oil don't last. We can definitely look at how the price has traded over the course of the last decade. And it's actually very rare that prices will not move for 3 months at a time. And even when it does do that for a while, then what it really sets the market up for is a great deal of volatility. So we're really at a very important point here for oil prices. And it's really a bet about the health of the global economy. So we know that major producers are curtailing supply. And the issue that OPEC ministers are highlighting is that there's a lot less investment. So they're more worried that there won't be enough oil around. And they're not talking about demand. But I think demand is a much more important variable during times of economic stress. So then the big question is, what exactly is the lagged effect from all those raising interest rates? Eventually, it is going to have a knock-on effect on the economy. You cannot simply raise rates by 400 basis points in the space of only a few months and not expect there to be a reasonable knock-on effect. So depending on which way this breakout occurs, then that's going to give us a lot of, I think, information about the relative health of the global economy. My hunch, at least, is that we should give the benefit of the doubt to the downside, at least, but it hasn't followed through yet, and we still have the sequence of higher reaction lows. I'm not personally going to trade in advance of a signal, but I would be willing to buy a breakout in either direction, or I guess short if it does break on the downside. So Then let's also think about bond yields. And it was a reasonably quiet day for the 10-year treasury and down a bit following the big move on the upside we had yesterday. It has broken the sequence of lower rally highs. It is clearly bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average. We might see some additional upside because we're not quite yet at the peak of the interest rate hiking cycle. And that has been abundantly clear from the Fed minutes. There's a lot of people talking about, oh, well, there's not much of a reaction to it in the market today because it's all been priced in already, and a lot of the reticence that the Fed was expressing during the minutes, or the Fed member board members were expressing during the minutes, was vindicated by the kind of data that's been coming out since then. But I think the most important thing is that they remain committed to continuing to raise rates and are likely to raise by another 75 basis points at the next meeting. But then they could continue on that because there is obviously the potential that this cost of servicing the debt is going to become problematic. And they really do need to get inflationary pressures down in a hurry. We have food shortages in places like the UK. And a few months ago, it was because of the impact of the avian flu on European flocks that curtailed the availability of eggs. Whereas today, it's about the unavailability of tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers. Now, most of those are produced in greenhouses, and of course, lots of people were worried about the sustainability of those greenhouses when you have so much uncertainty about energy prices. Now, obviously, there are political factors, and then there were weather factors that have impeded exports from Morocco, but I think mostly what it was that there wasn't nearly as much money spent on supporting greenhouses, and then there aren't any crops coming out of those greenhouses because they weren't given the fuel subsidies. So there's certainly a lot going on in here, but I think the main focus of attention from investors is on AI, and Nvidia has been really very strong. And it popped on the upside in here today. So it's certainly benefiting from the potential for enhanced demand for graphics chips as more and more companies scramble. But I think it's very important to highlight that artificial intelligence is useful, but it is not the only thing that's useful. And then it's not nearly as useful as many people simply assume. I think that artificial intelligence will, in many respects, take over reporting and every kind of first-order thinking, where you have just a relation of information. But second-order thinking requires thinking, and it requires making novel or taking novel conclusions from available data. And that's not really what ChatGPT is doing. But what we are seeing is that the technology sector, or the, I guess more correctly, the semiconductor sector, is rebounding. And ASML is firming from the upper side of that underlying trading range. And Taiwan Semiconductor has also firmed from the region of the 200-day moving average. Then let's just contrast that with Intel, where they took a knife to their dividend yesterday, and the share is on the cusp of breaking downwards. So Intel has got a huge quantity of money that they're going to have to spend to try and become competitive with the leaders in the industry, and they might already be too late, or that the gap is too wide to bridge. And then let's also just pay some consideration to the fact that smaller companies are pulling back rather sharply. So I posted this article earlier this week talking about Apple's approach to the walled garden and stopping the sharing of data between apps. And that's having a really significant knock-on effect for smaller companies like Unity. So the share has pulled back in a rather violent manner. With I think so what it really does help to highlight is that the breadth within the technology sector is rolling over, and that right now there's an intense focus on artificial intelligence, and just about everything else is having a bit of a difficult time. And an example of that is Illumina. So the share is now right back in the region of the $200 level, and it's been ranging here for the last 6 months. But they had really only come out with their new genetic testing equipment about 6 or 7 months ago, and usually that has contributed to a big jump in demand for new machines. And it's not manifesting quite or nearly as quickly as I would have thought was possible, was likely. And there's the potential that it's going to drop down out of this range. So this is, I think, another example that we have promising companies with new products that are not being rewarded by investors. And then you have new products that don't have any earnings that are being rewarded by investors because they're inspired by the story. And I think this is also just helping to highlight that there is a lot of money out there still chasing deals. And there's still a boom going on in private credit. So, and I think then we should pay attention to what's going on with Bitcoin. So the price is hovering here around the $25 area, which is the highs from back in August and the lows from back in May. And the price was in positive territory today, but not really in a dynamic manner. It really needs to sustain and move up through the 25,000 level to demonstrate we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And that is also a liquidity barometer. When we think about Ethereum, it's also steadying here and is looking likely that it has further to go on the upside. Well, that also implies that there will be additional liquidity infusions. It's just that we haven't seen them yet, but the cryptocurrency market does appear to be pricing those in. But we're not going to have big liquidity infusions until there's a jolly good reason for central banks to ease back on raising rates. And they're probably waiting for something to break. And Credit Suisse is a good potential candidate for something that could break and have knock-on effects everywhere else. So I think we're still in this decision-making process overall. And I think that we have not yet seen the knock-on repercussions of very swift monetary tightening. Doesn't mean that there aren't opportunities in some areas, but the fact that copper is not performing quite as well when there is so much demand for renewable energy and so much talk about subsidies and the potential for a complete change in how the global economy is run. One would anticipate then that renewable energy should be doing better, and it's been pretty moribund overall. And then let's think about, companies that have come out of bankruptcy and they've been through the entire bankruptcy cycle. So Noble Group, or Corp, has pulled back really quite sharply over the balance of this week. And it's really a play on high oil prices. There will be additional new money spent on exploration, and the offshore drills are less carbon intensive. Now, obviously, they have lots of other risks attached, but if one was purely on a carbon basis, then they are more efficient. And for the oil majors, where they want to be picky about where they're going to put their money to work, Well, they're definitely going to get a saving from helping to reduce carbon emissions. But if this trend is going to remain consistent, it's going to have to bounce and do so really quite emphatically. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.